Good morning, Linda. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be together. So good to see a great crowd of young adults here this morning. Let's begin with prayer. God, we come before you as we are in this moment with our anxieties, our fears, our need, and our faith. I thank you for each person. I pray that you would nourish faith and hope in each heart from hearing this message. Keep opening our eyes as we sang about, I pray. Through Christ, amen. Well, my heart has been so grateful for each person who is connecting here and online. You matter. Each person here, right now, even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't think you matter, even if we are being knocked down by this thing called life and brokenness and overwhelm, we matter. The people of this planet matter to God. Thank you, Linda. And I also have such depth of gratitude for the ways that we as a congregation has grown. Patty mentioned a compass and that it gives us direction. Some of the time, the best way to see where we are going and being led by God is by looking backwards in reverse at what God has already been doing. So I'll name a couple of examples today. Because yes, we are growing physically, but I mean it spiritually. Three examples of how we are growing. First, we have learned how to honor one another. That's internal. It's inside the congregation. We've long been a congregation that cares deeply for one another, and now it's gone to a whole new level where it's become part of our culture where we give people the benefit of the doubt when there are misunderstandings or miscommunications. We are learning how to move towards conflict with curiosity. Someone outside the congregation was with some people of Zion recently, and they said this about us. They said there was so much mutual trust and respect that they felt in the room together. I celebrate the spiritual growth in our relationships with one another, internal. Second, we have learned to focus outward. That's external. We are doing more outreach, more being sent. A number of years ago, I'd have to ask Elwood, our historian, how long, we did not have a chair of our outreach and stewardship commission. We didn't have a chair. We didn't have a commission. There was no outreach happening whatsoever. Now we have an outreach and service commission that for the last 5 years has provided us with continual ways we can be part of what God is doing in our neighborhoods. We have quarterly service Sundays where we stand side by side, knotting comforters or working on projects and filling bags with hope as we send out relief kits and dignity kits and school kits that get sent all around the world. I celebrate this congregation's heart and commitment to live outreach. That's external. Here's my third example of how Zion is growing spiritually. We've had internal and external, and now we have what I'm going to call relational. And actually, all of these so far have been relational, whether it's inside the church or outside the church. But in this example, it's our relationships with God. We are learning that God is active in our lives. Someone said to me recently, we now come on a Sunday morning expecting God to show up, to do something. That is a grace of God. Relational. I want to share with you a couple of stories today and then some insights from a group of people here at Zion. First story. When our kids were about 6 and 8 years old, we were at an amusement park, and we were doing one of the rides where the kids get to drive. They're the ones with the steering wheel. They're on a track, and there's a metal track in the middle of the pavement that keeps, for safety, keeps you on where you're supposed to be going. And that's a great thing for everybody's safety, unless you have a son or a daughter who intentionally steers into the metal track so that you're getting whiplash back and forth over and over again. Well, according to family lore, I repeated a particular phrase 30 too many times as we looped around this track. I said, a little bit goes a long way. I was trying to teach them that the steering wheel is connected to the tires, and if you just turn a little bit, I don't think our kids had watched that much NASCAR, but they were just driving like these were the steepest, most banked corners you've ever seen. I was trying to teach them a little bit goes a long way, and I will never live that down ever. What's true for the steering wheel is true spiritually in our lives. We as a body are connected to one another and to Jesus, the head, and a little bit goes a long way. It's what Lori Friesen shared about last week, that in our overwhelm sometimes about our circumstances and our overwhelm about how best to help, when many of us each do a little, it goes a long way. Twice this week in unrelated scenarios, I heard coaches saying it is far better to do a little bit consistently than to do a lot sporadically. A little bit goes a long way. A similar story. There's a man who twice was audited by the IRS, and here's what they told him. They said, it is impossible that you have given that much money to the church on the income that you have. To which the person pulled out their receipts and accounted for every penny. The frugality and generosity of a Mennonite. Our coins and our checks given with intentionality and generosity, a little bit goes a long way. And God's intentionality and generosity reach and are sent even farther. Now, I hope we're ready for this story. Despair and confusion hung thick in the air as 10 men sat, heads down, shoulders bent, cowering, bewildered, and anxious in a locked room. The world outside that door had just gone to a whole new level of unhinged. Politics, religion, pride, greed, selfishness, they were winning and it was ugly. People's lives were at stake, and any hopes for security or a new tomorrow had been obliterated when the Romans took the disciples' peace-loving leader by force. He was beaten and left to die. To add insult to injury, some had taunted that he wasn't powerful enough. They had pinned all their hopes to him, and he stopped breathing. The disciples fled. Some of the women had said that morning they had talked with Jesus, that he was alive. And as this disciple looked around that ragtag group of men in the room, devastated by their losses and duped to have believed Jesus, he suddenly heard a very familiar voice. He spun around to see Jesus standing next to him. Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed. Peace be with you, he said again. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Any argument that Scripture is not relevant today fails. Any argument that the same God who led us to this particular passage for our worship service today, that God is not active in our lives, that fails. God is moving in our lives, and Scripture speaks to our present moment. And so does our Anabaptist faith. Our Anabaptist denomination began about 500 years ago in another little room where outside the walls the Catholic Church was tied to the state and tradition instead of to Jesus. And one person after another chose to be baptized as a sign of seeking to follow Jesus with their brothers and sisters. On Tuesday of this past week, Mennonite Church USA, of which Zion is a part, chose to stick their necks out again in resistance to government as a sign of seeking to follow Jesus with our brothers and sisters, that all nationalities and ethnicities have the ability to gather in church without fear of deportation. What does all this mean for our lives today? It means that when you are at your worst, it means that when you feel helpless and alone, when you feel like the little bit that you're doing does not matter, and you feel like locking the door, whether that's of where you live or of your heart, if you feel like giving up on your hopes and plans and Jesus, look again. We are surrounded in an Anabaptist community still seeking to live into our baptismal vows to Jesus and to one another. Jesus is sending us. And Zion, you have been responding. There are at least three new ministries that have sprung up in the past couple of weeks. Monica Campaneri is beginning a prayer ministry for anyone wanting to pray or receive prayer. I think that begins on Wednesday. You'll hear more about that. Elwood has been creating local events to come together as Anabaptists to sing and learn from our Anabaptist history. There are two events left on the next two Thursday nights. And Becky Brenneman and Lori Friesen are leading us as a congregation in providing care and support for a newly immigrated family right here in Broadway. And as of Thursday, seven people here have said, I can help. Here am I. Send me. We are living sent right here in this community. With God, our little bit goes a long way. I met on Friday with four individuals from Zion who I see are people that are living sent. I wanted to learn from their experience because I feel like I don't do this very well myself. And here are some of their insights. One person said, being sent is a sense of being led by the nudges of the Spirit. Another person noticed that our passage today links together Jesus' peace and forgiveness with our being sent. Someone said being sent is about surrendering ourselves, our expectations, and our motivations. Someone else said being sent is an exercise in helplessness, a willingness to accept being inadequate while trusting God. Being sent is to step out with an agenda. Oh, excuse me. They said being sent is to step out without an agenda and with humility. Someone said being sent is who we are as people following Jesus. It feels good to do. It's life-giving. Two more. We also had a conversation about not minimizing what you are already doing here, Zion. And then lastly, outreach looks different in each person and part of the body. We have good news today. Good news that in a little obscure town called Bethlehem, a tiny little babe that's just little, nobody would expect much of this. A babe was born to refugee parents who could have been locked up in fear at their circumstances, and yet God empowered them. We have good news that in every heart that is broken, fearful, angry, or confused, God takes the little bit that we can offer and multiplies it. God takes what looks small and impossible and brings new life. As we were singing and worshiping together this morning, I was thinking about how God is able to take our small, our broken, what feels like not enough, and lead us into new life for us and for the world. I invite us to think back to those 10 men discouraged, locked in that room, and notice what Jesus didn't say. This is the first time that they have seen Jesus since they deserted him. And Jesus didn't wag his finger or shake his fist. He said, "Peace be with you." Or another example of what Jesus didn't do. After Jesus said, "I am sending you," he could have launched into a 3-hour training program. I love education. I love training. I think it's valuable. And yet Jesus gave them his spirit to the disciples as a community, and he gave them a message of peace and reconciliation. We have what we need already. Let's keep living the good news. Jesus gave us himself. He showed the disciples his hands and his side, which means Jesus is alive today. That means in our internal relationships and our external relationships and in our relationship with God, there is always good news. There is always new life. Jesus began a new day where we are given peace, purpose, and Pentecost power. Thanks be to God. Amen.